Hello everyone and welcome to the Conquerors Podcast, episode 2.1, Ancient Mesopotamia, Sumer, and Akkad. Okay, so as I said in our first episode, the first great conqueror we'll discuss is the world's first great conqueror, Sargon the Great. And as I said, for every conqueror, or a group of conquerors, if they ruled or served the same state, I will give a brief history of their state and people. Okay, so let's begin. Along with ancient Egypt, Norte Chico, ancient China, and the Indus Valley, Mesopotamia is one of the contenders for the title of the location of the cradle of the first civilization. Evidence for urban settlements date back as far as the late 6th millennium BC. As with other early civilization, the presence of rivers, in this case two great rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates, provided the early people of Mesopotamia with a surplus of crops that allowed the societies that lived there to prosper and develop. Mesopotamia itself is a Greek word meaning land between rivers. Slowly, small farming communities began to form, which in time developed into cities and city-states, along with increasingly complex societies and hierarchies, and the mostly common pantheon of deities and gods. As in other places, the perception of these gods was influenced by the very nature and environment in which these peoples lived. Due to the usual flooding of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, most Mesopotamian gods were portrayed as fickle, prone to anger, and sometimes violent, and required constant appeasement. At first, these societies were ruled by councils of elders led by a priest, which could surprisingly either be a man or a woman. These councils slowly began to be replaced by secular singular figures, kings, or as they were locally called, lugals. During this period, one can begin to point to a single dominant people and culture in the southern parts of Mesopotamia, the Sumerians. The Sumerians were a people of a still-debated origin who spoke a non-Semitic and non-Indo-European language, what we today would call an isolated language, and whose perhaps greatest contribution to us was the development of the world's first writing system, called the cuneiform. The most prominent Sumerian cities, some of whom were amongst the first in the world, were Eridu, Nippur, Sippar, Larsa, Lagash, Ur, and most importantly, Uruk. Uruk was considered the most important, being the largest, at its height having more than 50,000 people, and most influential. Hell, an entire period, the Uruk period, is named after it. One can say that Uruk provided a blueprint for other cities on how a true city should look like, both in structure and architecture, and how it should function. Also, it was the city ruled by the legendary king Gilgamesh. Another important aspect of the Sumerian culture was that each city was considered to house a different deity or god which served as the patron of that city. It is here that I'll separately mention another city, Nippur, because Nippur was considered a sacred city by the Sumerians, sort of like Delphi would later be for the Greeks, because it housed the temple dedicated to the chief god of the Mesopotamian pantheon, Enlil. The high point of this Mesopotamian city-state era came during what is called the Early Dynastic Period, which lasted between 2900 BC and 2334 BC. During this period, Uruk declined in prominence, though it remained one of the most important and powerful Sumerian cities. The Sumerian control and influence extended to the Semitic-speaking people of northern Mesopotamia, and the Sumerian culture's influence reached as far as southern Anatolia, ancient Egypt, and even as far as India. This prosperity, however, led to a rise in the population of Sumer, which in turn led to an increase in conflict between the cities, both culturally and militarily, and at many times, one city would rise to prominence and even manage to conquer some of the other cities. For a short while, two kings who reigned late in that period, Inatum of Lagash and Lugal-Zagesi of Uruk, were able to conquer all of Sumer and even beyond. And you could say that one of them should hold the title founder of the world's first empire. However, their empires didn't endure, nor were they able to establish an imperial apparatus like Sargon did. Lugalzagesi, however, and his conquests will be extremely important for our story later on. Okay, so we have the Sumerians, an entirely different people than the Akkadians. So why do we have to mention them? Well, as we mentioned before, the Sumerians were the most advanced and sophisticated culture of their time in that part of the world, and influenced many other people, and even controlled at times those Semitic-speaking peoples of northern Mesopotamia. In time, one could hardly distinguish between the Semitic northern Mesopotamians and the Sumerian southerners, and both cultures intermingled, and both languages became widespread. One of these were a people who inhabited the area north of Sumeria, and spoke a now-extinct language, Akkadian. Akkadian was the name of the empire established by Sargon, and its official language. The name Akkad come from the name of the capital city Sargon took for himself and the area surrounding it, from where he and his descendants ruled their vast empire for more than a century. The word Akkad, or Agade, is of a non-Semitic origin, and predates Sargon and his empire. Akkad as a word comes to us from the Bible. Unfortunately, even today, we still don't know the precise location of this once great city. The main goddess of Akkad was Ishtar Astarte, or Ishtar. During the period of Sumerian supremacy, the Akkadians were much influenced by the Sumerian culture, architecture, government structure, religion, and language, with the Akkadians adopting the cuneiform of the Sumerians for their own language. Slowly, however, the Akkadians rose from being the students of the Sumerians to being their rivals. Now, the Akkadians and the other Semitic people's favorite political polity was also, you guessed it, the city-state. Yet their states tended to be larger than those of their neighbors to the south. The main city-states in northern Mesopotamia were Mari, Eblanagar, and the most prominent, located to the south of their area, and also was a period named after it, Kish. Kish's proximity to the Sumerian cities made it a player in their struggle for dominance. It is here, with the introduction of Kish, that we end this background episode, because it was in Kish that a certain cupbearer from a humble origin would rise, first to rule over that city, then conquer Sumer, and then found what is today considered the world's first true empire, Sargon the Great. As mentioned in our first episode, your comments or suggestions are most welcome. You can leave them on a podcast's Facebook page called The Conqueror's Podcast, a YouTube channel with the same name, or on iTunes or any other platform you guys use to listen to the podcast. Also, don't forget to rate the podcast. You can also contact me directly at theconquerorspodcast@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, don't forget to press the subscribe button and tell anyone you know about the podcast. Thank you all for listening to The Conqueror's Podcast.